Hello, dear friends. We are sincerely happy to greet you again. Today we're going to talk to the esteemed Igor Mikhailovich Danilov.
Greetings.
Igor Mikhailovich, in the previous video you said that our world is like a river of life, and today every person faces a choice in which direction to swim along this river. There are two directions. The first option is the worst one, that is, if we continue to cultivate all our vices, irresponsibility, lack of initiative, cowardice, and so on, and we simply drift down this river like garbage into the jaws of the beast, into the jaws of the climate Cerberus, which certainly kills all people. And the second option is a wonderful option, when we do row hard against the current, as you said, towards clear waters of life and truth, and build the creative society. And in the creative society, we find a solution how to save all of us, all of our humanity, and how we can live a life truly worthy of the title of a human. You know, Igor Mikhailovich, it is very joyful that there are already many of us, many of those who really swim against the river current in order for life to triumph. These are the people who overcome both the resistance of this current and resistance of people who drift with the current. There are a lot of those who, as you said in the previous video, by their steps, create great agitation among those inert masses, and this gives excitation that ultimately leads to resonance. It is very inspiring, and one wants to row even faster and create these waves of prudence. You know, after the previous video, people wrote us some questions. One of them seemed very interesting, and it would be good if we could try to answer it today. The question is the following. Why does the river flow like this in general? Is it possible to turn the rivers back somehow, or actually to move to another water body somewhere?
Well, we won't manage to move to another water body. But we must turn this river of life back. What causes this current?
Yes, exactly.
I'll put it this way. Well, if we proceed from a direct understanding, then it is due to the reverse spin or the left rotation.
The left rotation?
Yes.
Of whom or what?
Let's start with a simple thing, with our galaxy.
That's unexpected.
Unexpected. What does the river of life, of our life, of our civilization, have to do with the galaxy? It seems that these are even incompatible concepts, while in fact, it is all one. The point is that our galaxy has reverse rotation, that is, it rotates counterclockwise. And any counterclockwise rotation, if we take it from the understanding of the right and the left rotation as processes of the universe, then the left rotation means anti-life. So, based on such, let's say, metaphysical understanding, our galaxy, including our planet, when rotating in the galaxy in the same direction, it is all set against life. Or, simply put, it is all set for domination, for authority. And we see the corresponding results.
For destruction.
Yes, we have, excuse me, let's say, our entire history is built precisely on wars, on destruction, and on anti-human actions of all humanity, not to mention of every individual. It is built on destruction, on authority, on domination. Since there is power, then there is slavery. So on that basis, we as slaves, and we are really slaves to the situation, friends, we have to turn that river back. And the funniest thing in this case is that it would seem that we are merely people, we are merely a small humanity on a very small planet, let's say on the far outskirts of the galaxy arm, in fact. We are far from even the center, but we are people. And we are not only spiritualized friends, we are soul-filled. And we can. If we evolve, we can really turn this monad over. This is the essence of humanity.
What do we need to do in order to change the spin of the galaxy's rotation, to turn this monad over?
In order to turn it over, we as civilization must reach at least the fifth level of civilization development. I mean, at the fourth level, we won't be able to do that yet. However, to put it simply, do we, our human community, have an opportunity to become a civilization? Yes, friends, we do. We have such an opportunity. Will we be able to evolve up to the fifth level? Of course we can do that if we want to.
Do we need to do that qualitatively or quantitatively as well?
Both qualitatively and quantitatively.
To become a dominant civilization.
Well, you know, let's just say if a certain civilization reaches a certain level of development, even the first one, that already means a lot. But if we are one planet in a whole galaxy, then understandably we won't be able to do anything. It is clear that we should be a dominant majority. But in order for us to be a dominant majority in our galaxy, we should do our best and should actually reach at least the fifth level, or better, the sixth one.
And possessing the technology of instantaneous movement in space and time, can we move to another galaxy for permanent residence, a galaxy with a positive spin?
To the one with the positive spin, no. To move to a galaxy with a positive spin where the highest races prevail, we won't be able to do that.
We are isolated.
Why not? Because up to the fourth level of development, we will have to stay in our own galaxy and in similar ones. But starting from the third level of development, I believe we can already freely visit any galaxies in the universe, but only those with the left rotation.
In the creative society, we won't be able to change the flow of a river and turn the river back, will we?
In the creative society, we will be able to change it. Everything starts with a small step. And the very first, the smallest step for our human community is to become a civilization, to become one united civilization. But in order to do that, we should make a decision, so to say. Either to remain in the consumerist format and wait until the Cerberus devours us at the mouth of this river. Well, this is really so, and we have only a short time left to drift, or to understand the entire pointlessness of our existence, stop being slaves and garbage, and become, you know, not a dead fish, but a live and strong one, and to start swimming towards the source. And when we arrive at the source, which will take a lot of effort to do, but if we want to, we will succeed, and then we will be able to build one united civilization. Let it be of the first level of development, but we should actually start with something. It's impossible for humankind to reach the fifth level of development without passing all the stages. Yes, it will take more than one millennium, or maybe even millions of years. Well, most likely millions of years, I'll put it modestly, for us to reach the fifth level of development, but we can do that. However, everything begins with the first step.
Igor Mikhailovich, does it turn out that even in the creative society, this negative spin of our galaxy's rotation, this very egregore of authority, will exert a sort of pressure,
yes,
influence?
Up to the fifth level of civilization development, as you say, this egregore of authority, let's put it so, due to the fact that Satan is far from being weak, while he or his representatives are present in each of us, we will naturally be under this pressure. And at any moment we can make a mistake as a civilization. Well, let's say, as long as we are in bodies, we are mortal. Just look at how interesting this is.
Anyway, like a GPS navigator, the system will rearrange the route to this very point of consumerism.
Do you know what is interesting? The ideal society, the one we talked about, that after the creative society, we need to build the ideal society. So, my friends, the ideal society actually comes already at the fifth level of civilization development. Is it possible to accelerate this? Well, everything is possible. People can do everything, if they wish and aspire. But to become one united civilization, well, this is difficult. You see, now it's even difficult to agree with people when they see their own benefit and understand all the existing threats, understand the pointlessness of our consumerist format. But many do not want to part with their authority. It is so sweet to them that they think, even if all of humanity perishes, I will still rule it for a while. You know, well, this is actually true, friends.
So it turns out that knowing this very influence of such astronomical processes and actually knowing our habits that have been cultivated in the consumerist format, we perhaps need some legislative levers in the creative society so that...
Again, what is the creative society? It's an agreement of people. It's a world where people rule by themselves. So, when building the creative society, in order to eventually become a right galaxy, that is, a galaxy with the right spin. By the way, my friends, do you know that in all our universe, there are many times more right galaxies than there are galaxies like ours with the negative spin? This is a good example, a good indicator.
That many succeeded.
Of course. After all, oftentimes those are soul-filled beings like us. They may look different, it doesn't matter, but they succeeded. So what is stopping us? Nothing, right?
We should remind each other.
Yes, it sounds like science fiction. Of course, you know, like a fairy tale. Yes, we wish it were so, but my friends, you know, we do not perceive all these fairy tales only because a lot is hidden from us. We don't even know how many civilizations there were on this planet, on our planet. And there were those that left. They became quite advanced. And here's a question, why didn't they stay, right? Precisely those first civilizations that attained freedom and were really able to leave, they used our planet as a temporary shelter, so to say. They had to reside here. They evolved as a civilization, took their first steps, and left it to us. Whereas our task is to become like them, because it is our planet, not somebody else's, right?
So, in the creative society, we should take into account the possibilities that this river current will always turn us back.
It will.
I mean, make provisions for this boat.
For sure.
Through legislation and through some kind of public control.
We will experience, 100%, you're right. We will always experience water pressure, you see.
Temptation to revert, right.
This current, when we will be swimming against it, because we'll have to swim against a strong current for a very long time. And the closer we'll be getting to the source, the stronger the current will be, so to say, and the faster it will be moving. Those aren't just temptations, those are things that has already become entrenched in us as human beings, unfortunately. Indeed, if we look at almost everyone, they are good people. We take the best person, put him in charge of some country, and that's it. He loses. He immediately becomes an ordinary manager, so to speak, for whom his personal interests and the interests of a small circle of people around him are far more important than the interests of the citizens who brought him to power. Why does this happen? It is exactly this process of striving for power, let's say, or the left spin, the reverse rotation.
Interesting.
It would seem to be trifles, but there is a huge difference. From the inside outwards or from the outside inwards.
There are so many of these mindsets in society, you know, as you once said, that everyone measures everything in his life with this very ruler of consumption.
Of course.
And, you know, we were asked one question about the fact that you said that in the creative society, a LATRA platform will control everything. Does it actually comply with justice, with universal equality?
You know, I've heard about it several times lately. It was even mentioned in some newspaper that in the creative society, politicians will be controlled by the LATRA platform, that is, by the LATRA IPM. What kind of politicians can there be in the creative society? If there are no politicians in the creative society, then how to control them? Well, how can you control something that doesn't exist? A simple question for those very journalists. You know, I just find it funny and sad at the same time. Those very journalists who, it is clear, were ordered to write a bad article. But there is a simple question, who ordered such a dirty article where they sort of conduct investigations? They investigate who we are, participants of the creative society and what it is. Would an ordinary person, a sane person, order such an article that should have a negative impact on masses of people, scare them and tell them that the creative society is bad, you see, so that everyone would sort of get scared and move apart? No, of course not. Who fights for authority and, let's say, uses brainwashing, often pulling up the good and the bad? A simple question.
Those who are afraid of life.
Let's put it so, it is those who live by the left rotation, right? When people walk around shrines with their left shoulders directed to the center, so to say, against all the rules of life and against even religious rules, I'll put it so. Why, when we walk with our left shoulders directed to the center, whereas even according to the ancient canons, there is an understanding that the devil is sitting on our left shoulder, you know, then it turns out that we are directed to an altar or a central place with the devil ahead. So whom do we pray to, right?
Who is between us and the altar?
Of course, but if we look at history, at the prophets, even at those who had to go around it according to traditions, say, to perform some rituals, how did they walk during the circumambulation?
Clockwise.
Clockwise. Why? Because the right side must be directed to the altar, the right hand, in other words, the right cause, and the left cause, you see? All these subtleties and nuances remained in our languages, they remained in our understanding. People have preserved the memory of how they should live, but at the same time, our negative part, I would put it this way, dominates. In the same way it dominates over those people who order such newspapers, over those journalists who write these things, you know, kind of to sling mud at somebody, to poke around. Yet I wonder, did he really not think, well, those who ordered this, it is clear that they are afraid. But as for the journalists, you know, they are like Judas, selling themselves, their family and friends for 30 pieces of silver, isn't it so? He was given 10 cents for what he wrote, or he was forced to do it. His bosses, you know, sort of put pressure on him. He cannot get away from that. So he started calling all kinds of agencies, asking questions, hindering people at work, and inquiring about the creative society, whether we are breaking any laws or not, where are the security services, when are they going to close us down and so on, but are we actually doing anything bad? A simple question. We are taking care of you. Should we not? Should we let the Cerberus eat your family and friends along with you? A simple question. You know, this inhumanness, this filth, what can you call it? They get an order for 30 pieces of silver to sling mud at someone and they begin to collect that mud in their own heads and from their own lives. What does it have to do with us, friends, if it is your mud?
Incompetence. At least in this respect so far, is also enormous.
I wouldn't say they are incompetent.
You know, to say that Alatra will manage the creative society, this is...
After all, look, even those very journalists, let's put it bluntly, even those very clergymen who often order such filth against us, and again, people who cling tightly to their chairs, who are afraid that the creative society will take away their authority and they will be unable to sit on people's necks, right? Who else? No one. Only people with a negative spin. And why? Well, you know, that would be okay if they investigated, studied and told the truth as it is. Let people choose. I mean, there is a theory of, let's say, climate change caused by the anthropogenic factor. And there is what we say. The funniest thing is that when we tell the truth, do you know what we are blamed for? That we are telling hypotheses which coincide, at least since the year 2014 and to this day. What we and our scientists were saying, it is all happening. What other scientists were saying, they promised that it would happen 100 or 150 years from now. But now all this is happening. As of today, because of this Cerberus that is really destroying the whole world, I mean climate change, right now they actually say that we have literally 7 years left, right? They launched the doomsday clock and said that they should spend trillions now because 7 years will pass and that's it. Well, I understand their logic. There is plenty of money in the world. It should all be quickly collected and spent. Then it's no longer scary to die. Well, they obviously do not understand what money is. It's a thing of exchange, in fact. If you collect and spend it, it still exists somewhere, right? And it doesn't give life. Just look how, in exchange for 30 pieces of silver, people sell everything, including truth, verity, and their own lives. Meanwhile, they already understand that the Cerberus has come, that it is growing, and there is no other way, right?
Yes, it's true.
It is true, and even fools have already started to understand. As for intelligent people not understanding, I don't believe in such a thing. So when, let's say, those mercenary rhapsodes write all sorts of nonsense about us, you know, frankly speaking, I'm sort of ashamed for them. There is no other way to put it. Because they look at the information superficially. The main thing for them is to make a fuss, to scare, to work off their 30 pieces of silver. And that's all. You should have at least studied the matter, friends. What kind of political parties can there be in the creative society that Alatra is supposed to control? Well, guys, in the creative society from day one, even in the transition period, there should be no parties at all, because any party means division of people. Just note, whatever country we take, why do we have at least two parties? Well, there are many parties in general, right? And every party says that it will make people happy, that it will make things better. And they fight for power, they sort of strive for the feeding trough, let's call things by their proper names. Once they get their hands on the trough, that's it, they forget about people. Another government or another party comes, begins to accuse the previous ones, and they themselves, let's say, latch onto this trough while people remain empty-handed again. As a matter of fact, we haven't had a single war that wasn't arranged by politicians. After all, it is politicians who start wars. Have ordinary people arranged at least one war? No, it's all politicians. I'll put it simply, have we had even a single political or geopolitical crisis that ordinary people would make? No, it's all the fault of politicians. Those whom we entrust with our own lives, our own authority and our funds, our taxes, right? We entrust politicians with our own security and hopes for the future, but what do we receive? Enemies whom they invent. I understand they sit down at the table, talk and listen. Just imagine, you're a president, I'm a president, so you and I meet and say, in order for our people not to relax and to be afraid, and in order for you and me to withdraw more taxpayers' money, nobody knows where to, let's start insulting and blaming each other, let's take a third president, make him guilty of all sins, and start frightening people with wars. Yet why frighten? Let's start a war.
Performance.
Performance. That's our life, friends. This is true. Eventually, again, yes, weak politicians are destroyed. Those who cannot oppose strong politicians, right? But people suffer, yes, people get killed, we know. Yet has anyone at least held the strong ones accountable for killing lots of people from your country, for spending billions or even trillions of your taxes, huh? Well, people, our people forgive everything, you know, hoping that a better one will come. That's exactly what the left spin of rotation is. I'm sorry for the truth, but that's actually true. I mean, friends, what politicians can there be in the creative society? Where there are politicians, there is the consumerist format. There is slavery. With the right to choose feudal lords for oneself. And that's all.
A private interest.
Definitely, of small groups of people who dominate the whole world. Well, you know, whether this is good or bad, history will show, but the Cerberus has come. The one our prophets warned about. And now, what seemed mystical, what was told to us many times, laughed at, and we were even convinced that it's a figment of imagination, a fantasy. It is metaphysics, it is unreal. Now it has become real. Now there is the Cerberus outside, devouring our planet and destroying us over a short period of time. Our, let's say, hypothesis has proved to be extremely valid. A lot of volcanoes have become active on different continents. Just recently, the conference was held, and the Cerberus wagged its tail. merely whacked. But what does that tell you? That there is instability within our planet, that shock waves are occurring, that the Cerberus is merely gaining mass. And this tale, this myth, is already part of our lives, and it is getting closer to us. You know, on the one hand, I start feeling calmer somehow. Well, I'm taking ordinary human life. Why? Because this madness is coming to an end. Under any scenario, there's no other way to put it. The consumerist format, that life we live, it is literally a struggle for life. It is not life. It is madness, in which, let's say, it is hard for a person. It is hard because there is a lot of injustice, because there is no elementary mutual respect and no hope for tomorrow for any person, no matter who they are. Even the powers that be, they also fight against each other. While making deals, they deceive and manipulate. At any moment, anything can happen. For instance, that very nuclear explosion. People may come under pressure, and they might not cope. You know, the human factor, when a huge number of males, who are, let's say, not always sane and sober, are brandishing weapons, it's very dangerous. Why? Because something may happen that would simply put the whole world under a nuclear threat. It's true. And then we needn't be afraid of the Cerberus. You know, somehow I feel, I don't know, calmer, you see. If quite recently we have to prove that people, the climate is changing, what does the anthropogenic factor have to do with it? Now everyone already understands that. Even though we are being criticized, of course, that our hypothesis, the one our scientists put forward and which we voice, that it hasn't been duly reviewed, it is not up to the scientific sort of standards. But I have a question for these scribblers and chatterboxes. Who is supposed to review our scientists, who have been telling the truth for so many years, and whose hypotheses have become the axiom of the present day? Those blabbermouths, on whom we have spent trillions of money for their CO2. After all, everything should have been restored a long time ago. Right? When they promised, just recall, friends, in the beginning, when this global warming story started, they said that we must stop this. In 10 years, everything will get back to normal, but so and so many billions are needed. Later on, more billions, and not in 10 years, but a little longer. Now we are being told we must stop it. We mustn't let the warming exceed 2 degrees by the end of this century. You know, I already feel jolly, not just calm, but jolly already. You know, somehow there is such a hope for these people, that they are so good, they promise us that we as humanity will live to see the end of the century. You know, that kind of prospect. Well, maybe it will increase by 2 degrees or not, maybe we will hold it or not, but we will live. And they couldn't care less about the Cerberus and about the reality taking place outside our windows. They couldn't care less about anything. You know, I'm surprised by how much people have forgotten how to think and have started to take life, you know, so easily and superficially. The main thing is to steal, to cheat. I mean those who control and manipulate us, the slaves. They hope that they still have time before the end of the century, and the main thing for them is to reign now to the utmost, so that their children can continue to reign over us later on. But you know, I started feeling calm, that we just need to endure it a little longer. I'm addressing our friends now. And in any case, this bacchanalia will end. Either in the jaws of the Cerberus, or we will build a creative society where there will be no politicians. On the one hand, it is scary. If we don't build a creative society, then this humanity has no chance. But on the other hand, we have a Latra. We are not afraid of the Cerberus. Yes, we will throw off our clothes. But those clothes now turn us into slaves. Yet afterwards we will become free. And look how many angels, let's say, will be added to the Lord's world, right? That's also good and joyful. About 10 years ago, I would have been sad. But now it is already somehow calmer. There are more and more people.
But it would be very desirable to save the lives of potential angels.
It would be desirable. That's the goal and the task. While here, let's say, everything depends on people's choice and on their understanding to what extent people will become, I'll put it simply, well, sane, merely sane. I'm not taking the spiritual path, higher planes or anything else, you know, like, well, what does a religion have to do with it? Or as they talk about us. Do you remember how just recently some journalists stopped calling us a sect, friends, by the way? Well, a sect is supposed to split off from someone. That's logical, yes? Either from Islam or from Christianity. So journalists said that we... I speak about Alatra now, not about the Creative Society. That we are a new alternative religion. Friends, for the teaching, the knowledge to become a religion, there have to be certain attributes. And here, first of all, there has to be authority and a rigid hierarchy. In Alatra, there is no such a thing as authority, rigid hierarchy or anything else. Everything falls apart, no matter how hard they try, no matter what they come up with. I understand, I even feel sorry for them. They are trying to squeeze Alatra into some familiar jars. We have jars with religions, we have jars with sects. They have everything on the shelves. Whereas Alatra is like air. It is everywhere. In religions, in sects, and in the life of every person. So, friends, I again return to this question about Alatra controlling politicians. Well, it's ridiculous.
And what will be the role of Alatra, of this platform, in the creative society?
Okay, in the creative society, the role of Alatra, let's say, as well as other organizations, is first of all to live and work for the good of all humankind and a united society, a united civilization. Everyone in their place improves the life of everyone else. And that is the meaning of the creative society. As for these statements that Alatra will control politicians.
Central committees.
Yes, the central committees. We once discussed it with you in the video. But people have twisted everything, you see. They heard the song but got it wrong. And they say that politicians have already been included in the creative society. How can we manage without politicians in some new world order? We were accused of going to establish parties. Maybe someone will establish parties of the creative society. What's wrong with that? But this is at the current stage. This is, excuse me, not in the creative society. Whereas back then we mentioned, do you remember when the creative society project was developing? And one of the platforms, let's say, where the creative society started to develop was Alatra, of course. Mainly volunteers and activists, the people of Alatra, understanding what is happening to the world and that the best option is the creative society. These are the people of Alatra who have been working very hard for very many years. They have been gathering understanding, knowledge, wishes and aspirations of every person into the universal eight pillars for building the creative society, so that on these eight pillars, as on the foundation, there would be an opportunity for our entire humanity to build a home in which we will be able to be saved from the Cerberus. Isn't that true? But we didn't say that Alatra in the creative society would control politicians. We said that at the stage of building the creative society, politicians could also get involved, right? Who, on behalf of the creative society, can become an authority, and in that authority, they could immediately forget about the creative society. Therefore, we said that there should be people of Alatra, responsible people, and here the understanding of people of Alatra or Alatra is much broader than just Alatra International Public Movement. People of Alatra are all people of goodwill. These are people who strive for God. These are people for whom, let's say, honor, conscience, and God's love are above all earthly things. They are not corrupt Judases, but true human beings. And naturally, only they can be trusted. But in a broad sense, these are all people, such good, decent people, are everywhere, in any religion, and even among non-religious people, but those who love God and live according to conscience. That's who the people of Alatra are. Naturally, if such a corrupt politician becomes an authority on behalf of the creative society, and we support him, but once he's in that authority, he becomes an ordinary, petty corruptionist who forgets what he promised people. Naturally, of course, not in all countries and not everywhere will we have an opportunity to recall him. But at least we must say that he's a scoundrel and he used people's dream, desire, and aspiration. But after exploiting it, he gave it up and became an ordinary politician, right? That's what control is all about. And not about the fact that it was immediately made up that there will be a certain tool of authority, you know, such a thing.
This very hierarchy, the structure of authority, where there will definitely be someone at the top.
Definitely, certainly, of course, that we are building the creative society, right? And someone will control someone else there, and Alatra will also control everyone. Well, yes, right away, chairs and positions will be given to everyone. So what? Why don't demons understand how heaven is arranged? Well, you know, it's just interesting.
It's difficult to understand that all the attributes of authority will be left behind in the consumerist formative society.
Absolutely right.
That even during the transition period, all of this will not exist. I mean,
of course, even during the transition period, as you correctly said, we abandon everything. All the elements of authority remained overboard. There is an electoral platform, and people are responsible for their lives. People adopt laws. Well, let's say those very lawyers should draft laws according to which we should live, taking into account all our meanness, all our inhumanity, all our propensity for violence, robbery, corruption, and everything else. So lawyers should draft these laws, understanding and knowing all our beastly nature. Then our world will be safe. And then we, when they give us ready laws, we, all people, will vote on a single platform whether we want to live as people or we want to live as beasts, or we want to live as powerless beasts in the consumerist format like nowadays. However, if we want to live as powerless beasts and slaves in the consumerist format, then why would we build a creative society? What for? No need to do anything, we just continue living as before. Merely that. No need to strain yourself and waste time, neither your own nor ours, right? Everything is very simple, after all. But, again,
Igor Mikhailovich, during the transition period in the creative society, who will carry out this control? People themselves?
What kind of control? What kind of control are you talking about in general? During the transition period, clearly, there should still be money. There should still be material values. Well, we cannot advance science very quickly, and the first thing we need when building the creative society, especially during the transition period, the first thing we must do is that we must gather all scientists at one table and solve the issue of how we, all of humanity, the entire civilization, because from the first day we become one united civilization, one united family, being responsible for the lives of each and everyone. So we, all of humanity, must think about how to put a rigid collar on that Cerberus, take it on a short leash, and make our future safe. This is point number one. Next is how we are going to live. And here, of course, we should make the right decision, but the decision on how we are going to live has to be made, let's say, even before we enter the creative society, even during the transition period. It is clear that lawyers should deal with this, and economists should deal with this, as well as programmers and everyone in the world. Why? Because this is our life. If we approach it being unprepared, well, what's the point then? Yes, in the creative society itself, neither money nor other means or anything else will be needed. But during the transition period, our life will be very similar to present-day life. There will be an economy. Yes, we will be obliged to start building those very vertical farms to facilitate and to improve life. We won't have problems with either money or materials or anything else. and what is not available now in terms of energy, in terms of, well, those benefits which are not available to us because they are expensive or because by introducing them we will make very rich rulers of the world powerless and destitute like us, then in the creative society it all becomes acceptable. Those very energy sources, new breakthroughs in science concerning our health and improvement of our lives, those very replicators and whatnot. But imagine how many factories are needed, how much effort it takes to give these benefits to everyone. It's going to take some time. It's clear that we will have to, well, let's take, as we already said, 5 years. 5 years is a realistic time frame in which we can exit the consumerist format and enter the creative format. I mean, within this period, if we want to, we can provide the whole world, each and everyone, with new technologies and begin to live a life where money is no longer needed. But as long as there is money, someone will still try to engage in corruption. Well, it is money. It is temptation. Again, who will enter the creative society? Let's be honest. All of us will actually enter it, friends. All our humankind. Those very corruptionists, murderers and maniacs. Where would they go? After all, this is humankind. Yes, nowadays, let's say, many of those very criminals have been forced to become criminals. Why? Because they wanted to eat. Whereas in the creative society they will have a comfortable life by law. For them to be normal people and build a good world. And not just to occupy places in prisons, I'll put it so. But due to the fact that there will be grounds for corruption, since there will be funds, and since again there will be certain positions for people, how can it be otherwise? Executives, managers, those whom we will appoint, we people, there should be electoral platforms for this of, say, that very district, city, region, country, and the world. And depending on the level, and let's say the complexity of a law, for example, if this law applies to our small, ordinary neighborhood, what trees to plant, what color to paint something, well, it will be us who will adopt that, but it will also be us who will control it, we, the residents of this neighborhood, right? So that the people in charge, who are assigned to carry out these tasks, don't swindle us and don't steal from us. It is simple, friends, isn't it? Right? And it all goes from the bottom to the top. Everything is very simple, friends. There's nothing complicated. We have only one difficult and serious task right now, which is to inform everyone and listen to what people will say. It seems to me this is very fair and very appropriate. When all people learn that there is the creative society, that they can choose a better life and most importantly, they can preserve this life. Yes, as the creative society, we do not guarantee that scientists will come sit down at the same table and solve this problem. Maybe we will protract this and they won't make it in time, or maybe we won't manage to solve it. Is there a chance of that? There is. Again, it all depends on us, on people, but either we will have at least some real chance to save ourselves as a civilization, or we will have no chance at all. Whereas right now, friends, in our consumerist world, what chance do we have for survival? Answer honestly for yourselves. Look around you. Just pay attention to the changes that are taking place in the climate. Yes, I understand the climate is some kind of a remote priority for us now. Currently, the most important and crucial thing is the distribution of funds and capabilities among the powers that be. Well, that's what they call politics for us. The struggles of countries, confrontations, wars. After all, there are enemies there. There are enemies out there. Sort of creation of enemies and confrontation with them. Humanity, just like any human being, has only one enemy. And that enemy is in him. Humanity should have no other enemies, just as any human should have no other enemies. The enemy is the one whom we call demons, and he's in everyone. It is Shaitan. That's who the enemy is. Therefore, friends, we should have no other enemies, and we shouldn't be enemies to each other. We should be friends with each other, helpers in the fight against our main enemy. That's when the world will change, right?
Everything is in our hands.
Absolutely everything.
The main thing is not to give up, but to row against the current with enthusiasm even faster.
That's right. Again, we've come back to our river of life. So, friends, I hope we have managed to convey the understanding. Yes, we have talked a lot about metaphysics, all sorts of fairy tales about the spins, about the rotation of galaxies. I understand. But do you know what the best part is? The best part about our conversation today is that we have talked to each other again, that we understand each other. And the very best part is that we are still here. We can still talk. And all of us can still change a lot for the better, friends. I think that's the most wonderful thing. So, friends, let's just love each other. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Igor Mikhailovich.
Thank you, friends. Peace be with you.